Ghislaine Maxwell, serving a 20-year sentence for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking crimes, was interviewed by the Department of Justice under the Trump administration, sparking renewed interest in Epstein's network. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former Trump lawyer, met Maxwell in Tallahassee, Florida on July 24th through the 25th to probe potential information about others involved in Epstein's crimes.
I think Ghislaine did a wonderful job. She literally answered every question. She didn't say, you know what, don't ask me that. I'm not going to talk about this person. She was asked maybe about 100 different people. She answered questions about everybody, and she didn't hold anything back.
But her lawyer, David Oscar Marcus, declined to disclose specifics. The speculation fueled by this interview and the lingering question of a pardon concerning Maxwell revolve around Epstein's alleged ties to foreign entities, not just politicians and celebrities, as the plot thickens.
But a lot of people have asked about pardon. This is just not a time to be talking about pardons. Todd will come back with whatever he's got. You're making a very big thing over something that's not a big thing. You should be talking about, if you're going to talk about that, talk about Clinton, talk about the former president of Harvard, talk about all of his friends, talk about the hedge fund guys that were with him all the time. Don't talk about Trump.
The Democrats pushing Trump on this and trying to connect him to all of this has massively backfired. And I've been saying for 20 plus days since this all broke, Trump needs to lean into this and order everything released. And that's all starting. Democrat judges all over the country, Florida, New York, are trying to block the release of the Epstein files now.
Evidence suggesting Epstein's connections to Mossad and Russian entities continues to burrow down the rabbit hole.
So $21 trillion disappeared from DOD and HUD over the period that Epstein was operating. He went to the White House, his first time in the White House. Rubin, who became Secretary of Treasury, took him, I think, in 1994. And then Rubin goes to Treasury. Money starts disappearing. And then, you know, Epstein is ballooning fantastic amounts of money. So I think Epstein was laundering the money that was coming out of DOD. And if you look at his relationships with Mossad and Israeli intelligence, when Mossad is taking over DOD and the money's going missing, and we know the cybersecurity and IT in the Israeli sort of constellation was very active, you know, in government at that time. So if you let the files out, people are going to connect the dots between Epstein, Mossad, the growing power of Israel, AIPAC, and then where did their pension fund money go?
Of course, Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, was alleged in books like Robert Maxwell's Israel Super Spy to have worked with Mossad. Similarly, Epstein's ties to Russian figures such as Sergei Belyakov, a former Russian official who assisted Epstein with a Russian model and visa issues, and Epstein's processing of millions through Russian banks suggest possible Russian intelligence interest. Ghislaine Maxwell's own activities also add to the scrutiny, particularly her Terramar Project, a nonprofit founded in 2012 to promote ocean conservation, which likely functioned as a shell company. The New York Post reveals that Terramar, which shut down after Epstein's 2019 arrest, had minimal financial transparency and was linked to Epstein's funding of his illicit network, raising questions about its true purpose. The Terramar Project raised approximately $197,000 in public donations over its operational years from 2012 to 2019. Maxwell loaned significant sums to keep the organization afloat, with tax filings indicating that by 2017, the nonprofit owed her $539,000. And by the end of 2018, this debt had increased to $561,000. The Terramar Project was endorsed by the Clinton Global Initiative in 2013, but direct financial contributions are not clearly documented. Ghislaine's tech billionaire boyfriend at the time, Ted Waite, once donated $10 million to the William J. Clinton Foundation and was essential in getting the Terramar Project funded. There are plenty more rocks that have yet to be turned over as the Epstein saga stumbles onward. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. It all used to like Brain Force. Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's Thursday, July 31st, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday morning, tail end of July 2025. We got a lot to talk about today, and I know we always do. So everything's just as crazy as ever, I guess. I guess you could say we got just a lot of political news to get into, a lot of bizarre geopolitical news to get into, and I also want to get at least a little bit into the topics that were the topic of debate or conversation yesterday with Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones. They had the, you know, long anticipated debate. It turned out to be more of a conversation, less of a debate. And we did a breakdown of it with Lebanon John and Rex Jones on Moonbase Live yesterday as well, where our coverage was actually more of a debate than the Nick and Alex conversation was. I thought that was pretty interesting. Rex was supposed to be in here at 10 today, but he unfortunately had an emergency come up, so he's not going to be able to make it. So that's bad news. But the good news is that we'll be able to take your calls, and lots of them today. So stay tuned for that. We can go now to a clip, and this is probably the defining clip of the conversation between Nick and Alex yesterday, where basically the question is, what's going on with Trump, and what do we do about this? Because we probably won't survive another Joe Biden-style presidency as a nation, or possibly as individuals. It's not unlikely that should Trump continue on the path that he's on, continue to lose support, especially amongst the youth, then we become a socialist nation, and that's the end of that, folks. There's no America to our Soviet Union. You understand? If we fall, that's it. That's all. It's over. Clip number 12. Here's Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones. Alex saying that Nick was right to predict a lot of the things Trump has done, and that fact alone makes Alex Jones sick to his stomach. Let's watch.
I said that before you came on. I said, listen, I have guests on that are consistently right. You can disagree with overall your views or whatever, but you've been dead on. So my North Star is, who's the most accurate? That's what I have on. So you did predict all this, which makes me physically ill. So what? Look at the crystal ball, Nick Fuentes. What is going to happen, and then what do we do?
It's hard to say what is going to happen next because, you know, I was going to say we are in a way stuck. We are stuck with Trump for the next 4 years. And when I say stuck, I mean, whether you think it's good or bad, he's the president and he's in this incontestable position. That was sort of the aspect of it that was very concerning to me, which is that if you have Kamala Harris, she has no legitimacy. So a lot of people like to think, well, if Kamala won, what would that have looked like? Obviously, it would not have been as good. The economy wouldn't be as good. The border wouldn't have been as good. And that's obvious. But what was less concerning to me about Kamala against all of that is that she was a lot less stable. And not by that, I don't mean mentally. I mean that she had no legitimacy as a ruler. because she didn't win the Democrat primary fair and square and never did. She didn't. Nobody would believe she won the general election. If she won, no one would accept that that was a fair and square deal. And so the regime would have been a lot less stable and would have had a lot less leeway. What I fear with Trump is that he has this cult-like status within the GOP. And when you look at the approval ratings over the past month, he has been declining with independents. He's hit a low with Democrats, as always. But his approval with Republicans has been remarkably stable. It's been stabilized at just under 90% approval, even in spite of everything, in spite of bombing Iran, in spite of floating the amnesty deal, in spite of the Epstein files. And so you say to yourself, where do we go from here? What do we do next? We're in this sort of intractable position where there's nothing we can do because he's there and no one can challenge him. He steamrolled Congress to get the BBB. He steamrolled many of the people in the primary throughout this whole process. And so you say, if Trump is failing us, if he's failing as a guy, and I agree with you, there's some sympathy with it. You don't say it to be mean. You don't say it even necessarily to be critical, but just descriptively, this is an old man. He has been fighting for a long time. He is tired. And you can see that he can't handle it. You can see that it is a crack up, that he cannot handle these questions. And you watch these press conferences, these interviews, it's extraordinary the way he keeps digging, the way he gets asked about it and puts his foot in his mouth with this sort of, oh, well, we need to just stop thinking about that. And it's a Democrat hoax. And you say, how is it even possible that he's fumbling this hard? So much so that people are saying maybe it's calculated because it is not possible to mess it up this bad. He's failing. He's cracking up.
Oh, yeah. I love the futard saying, oh, he's going to make Democrats release the file. He's in control of it, dumbasses.
Exactly. He appointed the attorney general. It's under his purview. He could release it if he wants to. Pam Bondi could do it. Trump could tell her to do it.
So that's just a bit of a taste of the frustration I think a lot of us are feeling. And it's just, you know, we're just in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And it's what it sort of almost contributes to the idea that, you know, Trump is being set up or he's being manipulated behind the scenes or he's in on it, in that globalists always set up the lose-lose situation, right? It's one of the things we always talk about when it comes to false flags. The only thing false about them are the flags. There's still an attack. You still have to deal with whatever they've done. It's the beauty of the Hegelian dialectic is like, they really do create a virus in a lab and release it into the public. They really did that. They really infected people with an actual virus. You have to do something, that you have to deal with it. You can't just go, ah, this is a trick. We're going to ignore what they say. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go with their solution, but often the solution they propose is like the obvious one or the necessary one for whatever attack they've carried out. And so that's sort of where we're at with Trump, where it's like, okay, we needed Trump to get in because we needed a disruptive figure. We needed a break from normalcy. We needed somebody to come in, swing a giant hammer and shatter the two-party system, break that gridlock and actually work for the American people. We did that. We got Trump. Now all of our eggs are in that basket. And it's like, so we got to keep supporting him. And even when he seems to be going off the rails, it's like, what is the other option? You know, I got sympathy for Trump. It is bizarre just being in a situation where it seems like nobody knows what's going on. And that's sort of my takeaway. And maybe Trump does, but that's not the signals I'm getting from Trump. That's not what I'm reading into. When I look at, you know, what he says and the way he's handling this situation, I don't see somebody in control and, you know, manipulating everything as a 5D chess master. I see somebody making a series of completely unforced errors with a whole variety of unintended consequences. I'll say, I think the elephant in the room here, the big piece of the conversation I don't see anybody talking about. Let me put it this way. Yeah, Nick and Alex, and they're sort of freaking out about the future of MAGA. And it's like, okay, is this thing actually going to be effective? Are we actually going to get done what needs to get done? I thought Nick put it very well, to quote everybody knows, but to apply it to this, I think is accurate. It's, you know, if you take a shot at the king, you better not miss. The king in our situation is this globalist leftist, you know, societal control paradigm, this entire establishment. So everybody's talking about this divide on the right. The left is just completely insane and collapsed. The Democrats just have absolutely nothing. Cory Booker is like screaming and crying and stomping his feet over God only knows what. Like, I genuinely don't even know what they're freaking out about these days. They are still freaking out, I guess, because Colbert was fired or something. You know, who knows? Okay, so you got the right MAGA coalition. Not sure where the future leads. Are we just being folded back into the system? Is it going to be Trump goes away and it's Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance under Peter Thiel? Are we just going to be, you know, the Palantir AI with their puppets in charge? Because that would be a devastating end to this unique opportunity to wrestle our system back from the globalist. Or will we just go into socialism because Zoran Mamdani and, you know, AOC get to play up the, you know, Israel, anti-Israel stuff. The elephant in the room, I think it's weird that nobody's talking about, is the fact that for the first time, maybe ever, in a number of major issues that are the topic of headlines every day in newspapers, for the first time ever, the left and the right want the same things on all of it. There's this weird thing where the left is demanding a release of the Epstein list. MAGA's demanding the release of the Epstein list. And yet we're still at each other's throats. And nobody is talking about unity at all. Like, it's just never been an option. I mean, isn't that kind of weird? Doesn't this seem like a crazy opportunity right now where the left wants the Epstein list released and the right wants the Epstein list released? Israel doesn't want the Epstein list released. The far left progressives, or just most Democrats in total at this point, think Israel is genocidal and wants America to stop supporting their genocidal activities. Well, guess what the number one issue amongst disaffected Trump supporters is? We want the same thing. So it's like right now, you got the left and the right in tatters, while there's this massive shared portion of the Venn diagram where we all just want the same thing. Now, it's almost ironic because we have this amazing opportunity where we could come together left and right and say, hey, you might want universal basic income. I want to keep my guns. We disagree on these things, but can't we first just go, let's extricate ourselves from this parasitical death trap of an alliance with Israel? Can we just come together? And so, you know, to me, it's like, I was talking about this on Moonbase Live yesterday, and it was like, can't we just, like, don't we all agree just to put America first? Can't we just have an America first party? Go, right. No, it'll never work. It'll never work because the left won't do that for some reason. They would never agree to, you know, buck the idea of the global community and globalism. They as can't an ideology.
They can't even decide what it means to be American.
Yeah, they don't know what it means to be an American.
And that's why, you know, to people who are on the left, right, an America First party sounds offensive, right? Because they know that there's a fundamental disagreement as what it means to be an American.
Which is why, you know, it makes their position on Israel just completely hypocritical and asinine when you have people like Ilhan Omar, like, Israel controls our country. And then she's giving speeches to her. She's like, I will benefit Somalia as my position as a congresswoman. Like, all right, you don't have a principled opposition to what's going on. You just don't like that it's you. You don't like that it's not you in control of America as a foreigner for the benefit of your particular ethnic group. You're just mad it's another ethnic group and another foreign power that's taking advantage of us to this degree. So, you know, I guess it's, we just have these intractable differences with the left who have gone just completely off the rails and insane by every possible metric and in every possible way to measure, you know, political sentiment. The left has gone way, way farther left than the right has gone right. And I guess that is making it impossible for us to actually just have sensible positions, because after all, everything I believe when it comes to Israel and when it comes to America, it's all, the premise is all based on nationalism. As a nationalist, I think America should run, Americans should run America, and we shouldn't be beholden to a foreign state. That's shameful and ridiculous. And I support the Palestinians because I believe they have a right to their homeland and are a nation. Even if not officially, they clearly are a united people with shared blood and ancestry on a particular plot of land. They're a nation. They're a nation. So as nationalists, I believe they have a right not to be eradicated in their own homeland. And so to me, I just, it's easy to have a consistent principled belief across all these topics and come to, you know, arrive always on the side of the natives and of the, you know, populace of the nations that are concerned, not the elites trying to manipulate them. But for them, it's just all completely arbitrary. And yeah, they're against Israel's control, but not really. It's just they'd be perfectly in favor if Somalia had the same level of control Israel has. They don't actually care about America. They just are mad that they're not the ones exploiting us to the maximum degree. So anyway, I think that's sort of the missing aspect of this that I really haven't heard anybody talk about. Everybody's talking about what the right's going to do, how we're going to weather this storm, or how we're going to, you know, continue the populist movement after Trump is gone. But it's like, do we not have just this amazing opportunity right now for a little bit of cross-party solidarity as Americans against the constant and, you know, unsustainable exploitation by a variety of foreign and, I don't even know how to put it, internal traitors? Anyway, we got so many videos to get to and so many stories to get to. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 31st of July, 2025. Trump says Canada's Palestine statehood stance may hurt trade deal. Now, just what we were just talking about. Canada revealed its intention to officially recognize the Palestinian state during the United Nations General Assembly scheduled for September 2025. This decision follows France and Britain's similar announcements and is driven by the erosion of peace prospects and Israeli settlement expansion and Gaza's humanitarian crisis. Canada's recognition is contingent upon Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas committing to reforms organizing elections in 2026 that do not include Hamas participants, and ensuring the Palestinian state is demilitarized. In response to this, Donald Trump warned in a Truth Social post that Canada's support for Palestine will, quote, make a trade deal with the U.S. very hard following ongoing tariff threats. It was funny. Somebody said, you know, at least, you know, Trump is, say what you want about him, he's the most honest president America's ever had. He just comes out and says it. And it's just infuriating. I mean, this is just the classic issue. Here we have a negotiation with Canada. We got a lot of pressure, leverage. We got a lot of impetus to get concessions. And what do we do with that? We use it for Israel. We get all sorts of concessions. We could get all sorts of good things for America. But for Trump, it's about Israel and Palestine. We'll use our power and our influence and our leverage and our country's economic strength as a bargaining chip for the benefit of Israel and Israel alone. And it's infuriating. Again, it's like, at least he's honest. Like, you got that. We got that going for us. But what he's honest about is the fact that the American government are just literally, we're just entirely slaves to Israel, and our interests are always subsumed, always secondary to the interests of this foreign power. Thanks, Trump. Thank you. Again, it's just weird how out in the open it is now. It's just very weird. Meanwhile, Microsoft market cap tops $4 trillion after hours on earnings bet. Microsoft shares jumped in extended trading on Wednesday, pushing the company's market cap past $4 trillion. The software giant reported better than expected quarterly results and said Azure's annual revenue topped $75 billion. NVIDIA became the first company to reach the $4 trillion mark earlier this month. The $4 trillion club has a second member, at least based on after-hour tradings. And this, I have to think, has to do with the rise of AI and the ability that these big tech companies are going to have to rapidly replace a lot of their workers with robots and pocket the cash that they save us, because why would anything ever get better when you can just make a very small number of people a crap ton of money? Meanwhile, Trump administration announces new private health tracking system with big tech's help. Oh, good. Thanks, Trump. The Trump administration announced it's launching a new program that will allow Americans to share personal health data and medical records across health systems and apps run by private tech companies, promising that it will make it easier to access health records and monitor wellness. For who, though? That's my question. Okay, it'll make it easier to access health records and monitor wellness. For the government to track our records and monitor us? Is that what you're saying? It's actually incredibly easy for me to access my health records. I can do it in an instant. It's not hard at all. Call the hospital, say, if I need my records, they say, here you go, sir. So it's not easier for me to keep track of my health records. It's not easier for me to monitor myself. Basically, what you're saying is all of our health records will be fed into the unified government-wide Palantir AI database for, you know, incorporation into the global digital data set, and that'll be used to determine whether you get food or not with the implementation of the BEAST system. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today, because it is in no way a coincidence. And just on this story, it's just another thing where it's like Trump doing something where it's just completely in line with the World Economic Forum, completely at odds with everything that we elected him to do. You know, completely in line with the well-established pattern of Palantir, these AI companies systematically and incrementally absorbing every, you know, data source available to them for incorporation into this unified monolithic set. And it's bad and it's wrong. And again, I can only assume that this is, I don't know, for the benefit of Israel somehow, I guess, considering that everything Trump does has that in common. We'll get into it more, but especially in the last 24 hours, so many countries have announced they're following the UK's lead in adopting the Online Safety Act's restrictions on information. Big tech companies are voluntarily enforcing age verification on their own sites. You've got all these reports about military activity by NATO on the border of Russia. You got Russia warning Iran that an attack by Israel and U.S. is imminent on that country. It seems like we're rushing towards World War III still, and could be happening within a week, while simultaneously every government is frantically trying to pass censorship laws or surveillance laws or monitoring laws for putting black boxes in your cars to monitor you 24/7. Something really big is about to happen, I think.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago, and I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect, and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstreetsword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it, I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time? Or what long-term thing have you felt? Or if nothing?
Well, I think just the main thing is it gives me a better workout. And that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I really do think something big is coming down the pipe. And it's unfortunate because it seems like this is we're barreling towards the exact situation that the election of Donald Trump was supposed to prevent. Supposed to have peace in Ukraine. Instead, we are now 9 days out from a deadline that Trump set for giving Ukraine missiles capable of, bombing Moscow to smithereens. And as Mike Adams at Health Ranger pointed out on X yesterday, remember, it was the deadline with Iran that foretold that conflict. We gave Iran a 60-day deadline before, Israel unleashed on them. Trump says 10-day deadline for Russia to broker ceasefire in Ukraine starts Tuesday. So, as Mike Adams was pointing out, what Trump likes to do is set a deadline and then undercut it. Right, to keep his enemies off balance. You have 10 days, and then he launches an attack in 9. That's certainly possible. People have been reporting spy planes flying up and down the Russian border with NATO, with Europe, multiple times a day for the last couple of days. Spy planes capable of scanning huge swaths of the area. So it looks like NATO is possibly preparing some sort of offensive against Russia beyond just what Ukraine has been doing. Russia warned Iran yesterday morning that an attack by Israel and America was imminent there. Of course, it's been quiet for a little while, but that's what makes me suspicious is, after all, they didn't achieve their objectives with Iran. It still exists under the same leadership as before. So an attack is coming at some point. I mean, they're going to launch that again, no matter what. Like, you can bet on it, just a matter of when. And it looks like that may be happening sometime soon. At the same time, you have basically every Western country in the world adopting this Online Safety Act protocol, including Australia, you know, lots of countries in Europe that already have massive restrictions are frantically implementing even greater control. Big tech is going along with this and voluntarily, you know, forcing their users to provide a digital ID or, you know, otherwise verify their age. And a whole bunch of other crap coming as well, all at exactly the same time, all almost seemingly within the last like 24 hours or so. All of these things are announced as not just, you know, happening eventually, but almost immediately happening. Yeah, there have been Russian spy planes detected off the Japanese coast. There's also been, there was a Chinese ship that was deep within American territorial waters a few days ago. I mean, clearly, the fault lines that have been established for World War III for the last decade or so haven't moved very much. I guess Syria at this point is the only nation that has flipped sides so far, but it's still basically, you know, the Iran, China, Russia bloc versus America, Israel, NATO, India. We were talking yesterday on Moonbase Live that, you know, the next step, according to some pretty accurate prophecies for some Orthodox saints, Elder Paisios made all these like incredible predictions about World War III that seemed to be coming true, and he made these 100 years ago. But according to that, the next step will be that President of Turkey, Erdogan, is replaced with a Western puppet. So right now, Erdogan is playing the classic Turkish role of straddling both sides, kind of being a part of NATO, but also kind of being friends with Russia, kind of being on the side of Israel, also kind of being a Muslim country, you know, in alliance with the other Muslim countries. It just sort of plays both sides constantly. And Erdogan has been a master of this. And if he's replaced by a Western puppet, that would be a major change in the geopolitical chessboard, especially when it comes to Russia's interests. And having a Turkish leader that was anti-Russian would be a recipe for disaster. So it seems like we're barreling again, still, ever, towards World War III with no sign of it slowing down. A massive disappointment. I think I can speak for most Trump supporters when I say we voted for him to end the Ukraine war. We voted for him to not go to war with Iran. We voted for him to stop all of this. And instead, it seems like he's progressing with everything he's got. And that's very disappointing. I have trouble blaming him entirely because obviously he's, you know, up against this massive global conspiracy, but he is still the champion we elected to get this done, and he's not getting it done. So it's very upsetting. And honestly, it's like, it's just the brazenness and the scope with which these countries are just eradicating free speech. It's completely insane. I mean, listen to this. All new UK cars could have breathalyzers and black box style recorders under labor plans to align with the EU. New cars sold in Britain could follow European laws and be fitted with black box style recorders and new equipment that enables breathalyzer installations amid claims the move is a political ploy by labor to reset its post-Brexit relationship with the EU. Keir Starmer's government argues that differences in car manufacturing between Britain and Europe will lead to higher costs being passed down to the customer. But critics argue that such a move could show a desire by labor to closely align Britain to rules and regulations implemented by Brussels. Okay. All right. I just feel like it's, I guess we just have to like do this over and over. When they're saying that they want to fit your car with black box recorders, in other words, they want to have a microphone in your automobile that constantly records you, sends the data to an offsite server. They're not doing that to save you money. Okay, they literally just made the argument that, gee, well, if the UK has different standards than European cars, that's going to cost money, and we're trying to get the savings passed down to the consumers here. Okay, please, for the love of God, tell me you don't believe that they're putting recording devices in every car, mandating constant surveillance of your every move because they want to save you money. I mean, it's just absurd, these excuses they come up with. It's very pathetic. Like, well, no, it's about getting our cars in line with the EU because we just want to save you money. We just love you so much that we're going to force you to put a black box in your car so we can listen to you all the time forever. You know, to save you money. Okay, come on. Come on, you guys. Lord Hindi, Minister of State for the Department for Transport, stated earlier this week in Parliament that the government takes explicit presumption in favor of alignment in regards with how cars are manufactured. He added that government would be considering options for requiring the fitment of the safety technologies mandated by the EU's general safety regulations and would discuss these with individual manufacturers, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, and the National Franchise Dealership Association. New British cars could follow European laws and be fitted with black box style recorders and equipped to facilitate the installation of breathalyzers amid claims labor wants to reset its post-Brexit relationship with the EU. That's about safety. That's about safety. No, look, we have to censor the internet for safety. And we have to monitor you in your car for safety. And just everything we do, we'll claim it's for safety. And then if you question it, it's because you want people to die. And that's just tragic and abominable. And how dare you? How dare you want us all to die? And it really is to a cartoonish degree at this point, where they implement the Online Safety Act. I should have grabbed the video. And sometimes I see these videos and I'm just like, I don't know. It's like too much. It's the technology officer of the UK just saying outright, if you're against the Online Safety Act, it's because you want children to get hurt. Again, it's the frustration that this works, that people fall for this. Well, I don't want children to get hurt. They're literally just censoring political material. They're just censoring the consequences of their action. It's gone so far, at this point, a UK member of parliament published the official court proceeding transcripts of the Rotherham grooming gang, and it was censored by the Online Safety Act. Actual legal court records not allowed to be read by citizens of the UK on X or any other internet platform because it supposedly violates the Online Safety Act. The Online Safety Act that they tell you are responsible for children being abused if you're against it. They use that to censor the court proceedings about the massive rape gangs that have embroiled the UK for decades. So I don't know how we got to this level of stupidity of the wider public that they allow this to go on and allow this to happen, and there aren't just massive protests all over the UK immediately sustained until this gets repealed, but nothing of the sort. People are going along with this. We got to protect the kids. Can't let children have access to pornography. Like, I, as far as I can tell, that hasn't even happened. It's just only been used exclusively to silence political dissent. Just could not be more obvious. Could not be more obvious. And of course, it's happening in America as well. They've got this new bill. What's the I can't remember what the American version is called, but it basically copies the Online Safety Act, only for America. And again, we just thank God that we have the First Amendment, but that's no guarantee. And right now, the First Amendment is under direct, sustained attack from a variety of different organizations. Kids Online Safety Act. Yeah, it's for online safety for kids. This is a meme from 2001, right? This is a meme from like 2003, the classic cartoon of Uncle Sam buying internet censorship. And the guy behind the counter says, "How would you like this gift wrapped? Children's safety or national security?" Right? How would you like your censorship presented? Would you like to say you're protecting children, or would you like to say it's national security? Because neither one's accurate, but either one will do. And now it's unquestionable. There's a third option, of course, anti-Semitism. How would you like your censorship wrapped, sir? National security, protecting children, or fighting hate and defeating anti-Semites? AIPAC-funded reps seek crackdown on anti-Semitism with bill to censor social media. A bipartisan pair of AIPAC-funded congressmen have introduced a new Anti-Defamation League-backed bill to censor social media sites as a way to crack down on anti-Semitism. Reps Josh Gottheimer and Don Bacon, both of whom have the American public Israeli Public Affairs Committee as their top donor, on Wednesday introduced the Stop Hate Act. The bill will force social media companies to pay fines up to $5 million a day for failing to comply with their censorship and spying demands. And the spying demands are, you know, possibly more dangerous even than the censorship ones. They already have dedicated offices in Facebook, you know, in X, now in TikTok. Again, using the power of America, you know, weaponizing it for the benefit of Jews and Jews alone, where the American government has TikTok hanging over a barrel, says, you want reprieve? You want to continue to operate? Create this office of anti-Semitism monitoring. Give a position to our, you know, dedicated Jewish supremacist trained IDF operative to censor all material. And we've been hearing from insiders at TikTok that the creation of this office is coming along with a gigantic purge, and they're already implementing, you know, the AI programs to go through all the material on TikTok and ban everybody who's posted pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli content in the recent past. So we have a foreign country using our government to protect itself and to fine big tech $5 million a day for daring to question the genocidal activity of this rogue nation. Representative Gottheimer and Don Bacon announced legislation on Wednesday designed to counter Jew hatred on social media and use those and the use of those platforms by terrorist groups. Backed by the ADL, the bill would impose a daily $5 million fine on social media companies that fail to report publicly on violations on their terms of service and how they're addressing these violations. There's no reason why anyone, especially terrorists or anyone online, should access social media platforms to promote radical hate-filled violence, he said. Social media companies can no longer hide these crimes taking place on their platforms, especially when they pose a threat to America's national security. Oh, so it's all of them. So it's kids, it's national security, it's anti-Semitism. And in reality, all of it is just in service of Israel's Greater Israel Project. And they want to be able to commit genocide or, you know, ethnically cleanse an area without the annoyance of having people online complain about it. And if you complain about it or criticize it, they'll call you anti-Semitic and fine you $5 million a day. Now, this is all very confusing, I think, because, you know, they reference things like terrorism, terrorists using these platforms, while we simultaneously have American officials claiming that the attacks from West Bank settlers, the Israeli settlers burning villages, attacking Christian villages, bombing 2,000-year-old churches in the West Bank, Bethlehem, and elsewhere in Palestine, are terrorists. They're actually terrorists. The government official has called these attacks terrorism, and of course that's what they are. It's non-state actors committing violence against civilians for the purpose of political manipulation. It's just terrorism by any definition. So how is it that the country who funds, facilitates, sponsors, protects, and militarily contributes to sustained, concerted terrorist activity in the West Bank gets to censor our internet on the basis of terrorism? How is that happening at all? It's like if we want to apply this fairly and evenly, whatever. It's just, I mean, it's not complicated. It's not nuanced. I don't know how much more clear it could be. The Online Safety Act ain't about online safety. The anti-Semitism bill ain't about anti-Semitism. It's all about control. It's all just whatever excuse. Yeah, here's the, like, when is this cartoon from? Control of internet speech. How would you like this wrapped? Anti-terrorism or protect kids? That's got to be from like 2002 or something, right? So, like, it's just crazy that, like, everybody has known that this is the way it works for literally decades, and yet they're just doing it still. It's just crazy. So just very simply, there's just a massive Israeli, Jewish, supranational sort of organization that has various manifestations, but it's all just facets of the same organism. The ADL, AIPAC, like, they're all aligned on all this stuff. And they have these systems, these funnels to access resources and recruit operatives inside America. In fact, maybe we should go to the video of the TikTok censor, the whatever Jewish inquisitor who now works at TikTok. So people have been posting a video of her from the American Jewish Congress profiles of Zionist event or whatever it was called. And she makes these statements that kind of crack me up. Obviously, the people she's talking to, it applies to. But she'll make these statements where she's like, you know, like most people, after graduating high school, I got an internship with the Jewish whatever foundation. It's like, oh, yeah, everybody, we all do that. That's all. We all just are provided a paid internship to support our ethnic group immediately after out of college. We're immediately funneled into this, you know, corporate recruiting system where we're guaranteed a top position at a major firm of whatever organization we desire, as long as we promise to uphold the supremacy of our ethnic group. No, nobody else in the world has this. There's like, you know, like most people, I was granted a high powered position for my loyalty to my particular ethnic group. Yes, it's not good. It's not good to have our country so utterly replete with traitors, just filled with people who are not loyal to America. It's not dual loyalty. So dual loyalty is a trope. No, it's loyalty to Israel. It's not dual loyalty. If it was dual loyalty, they'd have some sort of loyalty to America outside of what America can do for Israel. But they don't. They genuinely don't. Not all of them, obviously, but the ones doing this, the ones who don't actually care about our First Amendment when it affects their ethno-state's ability to commit genocide unabated. Yeah, I didn't even mean to just get into Israel right off the bat, but obviously that's a major, you know, topic of conversation. And when you're talking about the global push right now to eliminate free speech as a concept, it's AIPAC pushing it here in America most vociferously, most aggressively, and most effectively. As this isn't something that they're trying to do, it's something that they are doing and are trying to maximize, extend, and make permanent. So, I just wish this wasn't the case, but we have a country that is completely dominated by this AIPAC, you know, lobbying group. And so I've said forever, and it relates to what I was saying in the first segment of this show. We need tangible, achievable goals, and we can work together, left and right, people on all sides who don't want America to be Israel's servant anymore. We can work together to eliminate the organs of manipulation that they use to coordinate their attacks on our freedoms and to weaponize our military and our power against their enemies. Can this be something that we all just go, hey guys, let's get AIPAC to register under FARA and force the ADL to abandon its 501c3 designation and get it labeled as a hate group? Because by any metric, it just obviously is. And if we can't do that, like, we really don't control our country. If you can have these dedicated ethnic supremacy organizations, the equivalent, in all intents and purposes, of the KKK, if we can't, at the bare minimum, get them to register as foreign agents, like, we really don't have a country anymore. I think that could be something we could all come together on. Go, hey, AIPAC should not control our government. And if we just get them to register for FARA and put them under the same restrictions any other international foreign lobbying group is under, it would put all of this censorship to rest. It would stop all of the, you know, unified 100% votes for funding all the weapons to Israel. We could put a stop to this. We could stop fighting each other and just get actionable objectives.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in your profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cubanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like, I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's just, it's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back.